Axis Mundi.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
You're listening to an Irreverent podcast. Visit irreverent.fm for more content from our amazing lineup of creators. Welcome to Straight White American Jesus. My name is Brad Onishi. I am faculty at the University of San Francisco this semester, and our show's hosted in partnership with the CAP Center. A very special guest. You hear me say that a lot, but I'm not lying when I say this is a very special guest, and that is my co-host, Dan Miller. How you doing, Dan?
Good. And for those who may not know, or maybe this is their first episode, I'm associate professor of religion and social thought at Landmark College. So it's nice to talk to you, Brad.
So Dan, we are here today on this episode to talk about your new book. And that book is Queer Democracy, Desire, Dysphoria, and the Body Politic, published just last week from Routledge. And, you know, you've published all over. You've published recently in the Canopy Forum, which was an excerpt of this book. But this is a major accomplishment. I want to say, you know, as your co-hosting, as your podcast partner, I want to say congrats. This is it's hard to explain to folks what it takes to write a book like this when you're balancing being the chair of your department and raising kids and trying to do a podcast with me and, you know, all that other stuff. So congrats on this. It's amazing. The book is about queer democracy, and it really builds on the idea of the social body metaphor. And, you know, the idea that a society is like a body. Can you tell us about that? Like, how does this work? You know, we have this notion of a country or a nation or a people group as a kind of body. How does that function?
Yeah, so if people have ever taken maybe an American history class or a class where you had to read people like, John Locke or Thomas Jefferson or folks like that from that time period, you'll hear this phrase of the body politic. That's where people might have heard of it. And it's just the idea that a way to think about society is to think about society as a body, right? On the metaphor of a body. And it's a really, really old metaphor. That's what I found out when I was looking into it. And none of this is groundbreaking research, but in our culture, in say, you know, the, broadly speaking, Western or European culture, it goes all the way back to the pre-Christian Stoics. There were other cultures that used the body as a metaphor for understanding society as well. But in our context, what's relevant, it goes all the way from the Stoics through the Christians up into the medieval period, and we'll talk about that maybe more in a minute. But what it does is just a way of trying to understand society as a whole. And what it imagines society as is this kind of organic totality where all of the parts fit together in a particular way and carry out a particular role, just like the parts of the body fit together in a particular way, carry out a particular role, and so forth. And so it becomes a really specific way for envisioning society, making sense of society. And also, and this is where we'll probably spend a lot of our discussion, in casting a vision of what society should be like, and who should be doing what in that society. And those are all really important issues.
One of the things about bodies is that they're not necessarily democratic. And so, you know, bodies have, in very plain terms, heads and limbs and appendages and things like this. In more detailed terms, right, you have something like a brain, a nervous system, right? These carry out executive functions in a body. Whereas you might have things like capillaries that are really important and absolutely essential to a body, but are not viewed as the kind of executive heads or executive systems of a body. This leads me to wonder, as people have used this metaphor throughout time, has it lent itself to hierarchical rather than egalitarian visions of societies and countries and so on?
Yeah, it's exactly how it's worked, right? So the way I say it in the book is, you know, if somebody says, well, why this metaphor? Why would we use this metaphor to think about society? There are different ways you could think about society. And I think what the metaphor has done historically, if you look all the way from those pre-Christian Stoics all the way up, and this is what I think it still does, is the way I put it is it captures a desire, a certain desire for the way society ought to be. And it captures a desire for a society that has a particular order to it. Or a particular shape to it. And what is that order or shape? It's exactly as you say, the socialist body metaphor, as it's been used for, you know, 2000 plus years, has almost always been hierarchically structured, the very clear sense that some of those social members occupy a higher place and play a more important role, that some members are subordinate and some are superordinate. And it has been very, very much inegalitarian, hierarchical. And to put it in contemporary terms, it's always been a pretty anti-democratic kind of conception of society, which is part of why I'm writing about it.
Thanks for listening to this free preview of our Swag episode. In order to get access to the full episode and so much more, become a Straight White American Jesus premium subscriber by clicking the link in the show notes. It'll take you like 2 clicks, I promise. In addition to getting access to this episode, you'll have access to the entire Swag archive, over 550 episodes. You'll also get an extra episode every month, ad-free listening, Discord access, and so much more. All that for less than $6 a month, and it helps us keep our flag up and continue to safeguard democracy from religious nationalism, extremism, and rising authoritarianism. Check it out. It's not hard, I promise.